Alpha Sessions.
Hello and welcome to the Alpha Sessions. I'm Sophia Brown, and joining me in the studio today we have Bonnie Freechild. Hello, Bonnie. How are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
So, Bonnie, you're an artist and a songwriter.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and your upbringing? We were chatting a bit off camera about you basically being from the other side of the world,
mm-hmm.
and how there's like a few patches of the earth that you call your home. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, that's an interesting way to put it. So I was born in Australia, mm-hmm. and then when I was 8, I moved to Brunei on the island of Borneo, because probably nobody knows where it is. And then I spent like 7 years there, went back to Australia for a bit, then to Ireland, then here. My dad is from the UK, my mom was Australian, so I'm like a third culture kid, they call it.
Cool. All over the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I feel like your upbringing really like anchors your identity. Do you feel like with the music that you make that plays a role in the type of music that you make, your upbringing at all?
Yeah, I think in a sense, but it depends. Like if I was to be intentional about it, and sometimes I am, I'll add different sounds into things, and I have a plan for certain instruments actually from Borneo that I want to experiment with. I haven't done it yet though.
Oh my goodness.
But that's for the future. But yeah, I think so. And also, like, I went viral singing Malay songs, so the language Malay is what they speak in Brunei, a while ago, and yeah, that kind of influenced. I don't know, I learned a lot about my voice singing in another language. I'm not fluent in Malay, but I was quite good, you know, obviously growing up there, and I learned it at school and stuff. So, yeah, it allowed me to explore my voice in a different way, mm-hmm. I think, as well. And I suppose having multiple cultures, I see things, like, I connect in lots of different ways with people, I think. I don't
know. Yeah, that's such a beautiful way to, like, connect with your culture through music.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's like all different cultures. So yeah. I guess maybe the perspective I write from is a bit more open or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. The listeners would have to tell me.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I find, like, coming from New Zealand, also being away from my home, like writing about being away has, like, been really helpful for me to, like, connect with my home and yeah, just, like, appreciate home more, like, being away from it.
Yeah, it's not home, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where home is. Like,
yeah.
Where I live now is home, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I actually feel like the world, like, I'm just a citizen of the world.
Okay, and I love that.
And I would love to just, like, be geographically free as well as financially free.
On that,
yes.
Your name is Bonnie Freechild.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Are you a free child?
Most definitely.
You do have, like, a free spiritedness.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you. I think
yeah.
No, it depends how you interpret that. Like, but yes, I'm definitely like a traveler and just don't like being in the. I get itchy feet. Like the last year, I only went to I was in Australia in the beginning of last year, and then I was in France for like 2 nights, and then Romania for 3 nights. That's the only travel I did last year, and it's the first time I've done that. I think I traveled more in the pandemic, but I've been focused on music and getting stuff out, so it sacrificed.
Amazing. I feel like moving to London for artists is like quite a common trajectory.
Yeah.
How have you found it so far being in London? What's your experience been?
It's been up and down. I think, like, Australia as an, like, almost adult there wasn't a lot of, like, opportunity there, I found. So that's why I came here. I guess it's quite easy to meet the right people, but, you know, it's a roller coaster, really. And I've had some great times. I've had some not so great times.
Sure.
I think it's getting more accessible though, which is positive in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Flooded also, but also the accessibility. And also I'm starting to really find like community, you know, which is a really nice feeling. Because I never really realized until recently that I need that.
Yeah.
Because of the free spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? Like the traveling and not. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting to have that realization, but London is a great place for that because of all the different.
So diverse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is what I need in life. I can't be just in
one place with all the people
that just were born there and grew up there, and that's all a bit weird.
What is your favorite thing about London?
My people, okay. I think, honestly. Yeah. Like, yeah. And actually, summer. I feel like London is such a different place in summer.
Mm-hmm.
If you only ever spent winter here, you'd be like, why are you living here? But summer, it's like people are friendlier and, like, yeah, it's a real... It's a vibe. People are literally like on a different vibration in summer, I think.
Yeah, it's gorgeous in summer.
Yeah.
I have a very important question for you.
Okay.
If you were a tube line, what tube line would you be?
Yeah.
I bet you get asked this all the time.
I've never had that. That is such a weird question.
I was going to ask you what your favorite is, but then I'm like, no, what tube line would you be?
Oh. You know,
why?
I'm going to have to go with the Elizabeth line because I'm royalty. No, I'm joking.
It's the best one. So.
Well, it's just like the freshest and the cleanest and the, like, I can breathe.
Yeah.
On it, so it does actually feel the most free.
Okay.
Like, you're not underground as much, and because that mole existence, I can't. That's what I used, when I first moved here, I called it the mole existence.
Yeah.
Because you, like, wake up and it's dark and then you go to your freaking day job if you have one.
Yeah.
And... which most of us do, and then you're in the office, and then you know this is literally like you're underground and in the dark the whole time. So yeah, the Elizabeth line. Even if you're in the dark, at least you can see.
Okay, love that. Good answer. Good answer.
Thank well, you. What's yours? I want to know what yours is.
I think I would maybe be the district line.
Okay.
Kind of like also you can breathe.
Yeah, that's
clean,
true.
Kind of slow.
Yeah.
She doesn't go too
that's
fast.
Your, that's your vibe. You're like a little bit laid back.
Don't rush.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that makes sense.
Take your time. smell the flowers. Well, yes, it's great to have you here in London and sharing your music with us and your fan base. So let's have a listen to one of your songs. This is 1993 by Bonnie Freetag.
Exciting.
Shoot and love me like we're stuck in 1993. Vulnerable type, heart on the line, knows how to make me weak. That's when love was sweet, back in 1993. I'm looking for that real love, red roses, butterflies. When MTV showed us what real love should be like.
Old school love
got me all in my feelings. Mm-hmm. Like some Jodeci, De La on the beat. Love really had a meaning. Love me like we're stuck in 1993. Ooh. Vulnerable type, heart on the line, knows how to make me weep. That's when love was sweet, back in 93. 1993. Let me break it down. Dim the lights, forget the world, don't make a sound. Ooh, nothing feels quite like R&B. Roller skates, holding hands in summer. Mixtapes made just for your lover. Nothing feels quite like R&B. Slow jam, slow mo, hit the harmony.
Won't you love me like we're stuck in 1993.
Oh, yeah.
Heart on the line, knows how to make me weep. That's when love was sweet,
back in 1993. Nothing feels quite like R&B. We're stuck in 1993. Nothing feels quite like R&B. There's no love like 90s R&B.
The Alpha Sessions.
Okay, thank you, Bonnie. That was gorgeous. Can you tell us a little bit about your songwriting process for this specific song?
For this song, I was going to say, like, it's always different. But this song, so I had the idea in my head for quite, like, maybe a couple years about, I wanted to write a song about the way 90s R&B feels and the love, 90s R&B love, basically, because all the videos and the, you know, it's just so like evocative and romantic, and the rose petals and the candlelight and all of that, you know. And so I wanted to write a song talking about R&B love, and met a new friend at a show who's a producer and a songwriter, and then we had a bit of a session together, and yeah, ended up coming up with this. And it ended up being called 1993 because three rhymes with R&B.
Nice.
It's like the most boring, like, how did you get to that? But it, yeah, it kind of worked, because then when we looked at like even what happened in 1993, there's like so much cool stuff that like Janet Jackson, I Think That's the Way Love Goes, came out in 93. Like, yeah, so many things. And then the reason I mentioned De La Soul, I think they had their second album maybe in 93. It was a bit of a change for them. And I met Poz from De La Soul quite a long time ago. So I've like some friends with him, and I was like, oh, let me do a little shout out in my 90s, you know, because what is 90s R&B without hip hop as well, right? So yeah, so it's kind of an amalgamation of things. And I put a little breakdown in it because I wanted that dim the lights, you know, like I really wanted to, because you know when you listen to the art and you're like, and you just want to like eat it or something. Eat the song. That doesn't make sense. But you know what I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
So yeah, and this ended up being, it's probably more like a little more, I don't know, I guess it's a bit more upbeat and pop than some of the stuff that I do. But I really like it. The response has been really nice.
Oh, awesome.
My first 5,000 streams on Spotify, which is really nice. Really nice.
It's a great milestone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. But you say your process is different for each your songwriting.
Thing.
Can you explain how and why it's different for different songs?
Just depends on the circumstance, I guess. I guess there's a, well, I don't know if you do this as well as probably most of us, but like there's sometimes you can have an intentional session with somebody. So, you know, we met up to write a song and it was like, oh, what should we, okay, I've already got a subject and he's tinkling on the piano and then I'm just sort of singing along, you know. But sometimes I might just be walking down the street and I get a melody pop into my head and then I'll voice note it. And then, you know, a year, who knows, 2 days, 2 months, 2 years later, I go back to it. Sometimes when I was playing piano a bit more, when I learned, I don't play properly, but when I was playing it regularly, basic piano, I would just, if I felt, you know, that desire to write a song, I would just sit there. But then sometimes equally, I'll just go and play samples from Splice and make a little loop, and then I'll do some beatboxing and just do random stuff. And if I just feel like writing a song, or if I'm upset, usually about a guy.
Yeah.
You know, situationships.
It's a good outlet.
It's exactly, sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. You have a few different sort of ways in.
Yeah, so many
like accessing that creativity.
Yeah,
that's
I think
nice.
Just all the ways, basically.
Yeah, all of the
ways. Do you do that as well?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that you feel creative when you're like moving, like going for a walk or something.
Yeah.
I always feel the most creative when I'm like active or moving.
Interesting.
Or, like, I'll go for a walk and just like observe everything that's around me, write everything down.
How do you
like,
do that?
I really that's so I found cool. that quite helpful.
I like I should do that. Sometimes I get ideas in the swimming pool.
Oh, that's fun.
So annoying. I swim like really often. And but because then I have to try and remember them for like an hour.
You're swimming. Doing like freestyle.
Yeah, literally. Like, and then I'm just have to try and repeat it to myself over and over again. Yeah. In fact, I've got an EP coming out on the 23rd of February.
Exciting. Let's chat more about that.
Yes. And the title for it came into my head because I started writing a spoken word in my head, and it was like after bittersweet aftertaste of you, la la la. It's not on the EP, but that came, and I was like, oh gosh, I have to remember this, you know. So I actually want to buy like a waterproof notepad to put at the end of the pool, because it keeps happening.
That's a great idea.
It's like meditative, right? And I
process
stuff.
Someone needs to invent that.
I think I did look on Amazon and it looks like there might be something that would work. I don't know. We'll try it.
That's so funny. Are there any like foods that make you feel creative? Like for me personally, when I'm in the studio, me and my producer will always eat the same chocolate bars.
Really?
Like he'll have a Bueno and I'll have a Boost. And that's like how we start our session.
That's how you start.
And we just like get in the zone.
Well, like rituals kind of.
Yeah.
Not really with food, no. Okay. Well, I try not to. I don't really eat that much when I'm doing musical things because I feel like, who knows what my body will do.
Yeah.
Reactions to food. I do have I've got a home studio and I've got a salt lamp in there, like a Himalayan salt lamp. So I always turn that on. And my music coach, she suggested spraying like a lavendery scented thing. So sometimes like if I'm like, I'm going to get in the zone, I spray that. And I do like nervous system exercises as well. Like okay. If I'm feeling procrastinate-y and stuff like that. So yeah, that stuff, but not food.
It sounds like you got your routine down pat.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
When I remember.
Do you have a favorite lyric that you've written?
Do you know what? It's like
hard to choose. They're all so good.
No, quite a lot of Goddess is like quite, you know, meaningful. But actually, one of the first songs I ever wrote, towards the beginning of my songwriting, I wrote a song called, I think it was called Try Again. And there was a lyric that was like, I see our spirit guides sharing a cup of tea, discussing the path of such beauty to which this could lead. Something like that. And I was like, I remember I always loved that, the visual that you get from
that's beautiful.
That lyric. It was a really pretty song.
It's so exciting when you write a lyric and you're like, oh, this is like exactly how I feel. And it just like comes together so perfectly. It's so satisfying.
But also, do you get that? Do you ever do that? Like you write something and you're like, how did I come up with that? Like, that's so...
Am I a genius?
Like, well, do you know, like, the original, like, meaning of genius or whatever was, like, you had a genius, not you weren't a genius. You had a little creature in the wall or something or that sat on your shoulder. So you had a genius rather than you are a genius. And then it just somehow merged over time. So now whenever, sometimes
like
when I'm ready.
Yeah,
literally, sometimes I picture like this little creature in the wall.
So in 1993, that was a co-write, correct?
Yes. Quest, the producer.
Oh, nice. Collabs. What's your dream collab? Dead or alive, any artist that you could work with?
Michael Jackson.
Really?
Yeah, number one, Michael Jackson.
Awesome.
But alive, there's so many. Like, okay, I mean... Jasmine Sullivan would be amazing. Co-write, Max Martin.
Nice.
Because we all want a number one. there's Beyonce, like.
So many.
Yeah, so many. Even like UK, like Sinead Harnett. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, I love some of her music. Now they're all coming to me. Yeah. K1 is like a newer artist. I love her. I would love to write with her, actually. Kehlani, they work together a lot. Oh, yeah, no, there's loads. Sasha Keeble.
Okay.
I feel like me and her would write really well together.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool.
So writing obviously is like a big part of like making music.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite element? Writing, recording, or like performing? Do you have a favorite or are they all kind of intertwined?
Probably writing. Yeah, probably writing gives me like the most gratification. But I don't know, like performing is the thing I like about performing is that afterwards when you talk to people and they talk about the connection that they felt to you or your music. That's probably my favorite thing about performing, that people, you've literally written how they feel even though you've never met them. So it's the connection. Yeah. I do like recording as well when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Like other people stress me out, but I can just do all my BVs, millions of harmonies and BVs. I can just do 50 if I want and nobody bothers me, you know.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, but I think writing, there's definitely... I think you'll probably get this. It's just there's something about getting it out of you that's the catharsis of it, I guess.
Yeah,
as well.
I 100% agree. On the topic of performing, how many live shows have you played in London? How's that going for you?
I have done lots over the years, but recently not as many. Like the last year or so, how many have I done? I did this huge, actually it was really cool. It was almost like a re-debut kind of thing when I put out this song Dopamine last year. And I randomly decided to put on an event at a place called The Lab in Stratford, in the East Village. And it was like an arts fashion kind of space, and it's closed now, but yeah, that was really cool. About 2 weeks before, I was like, should I just do a pre-release? And so I put this event together, like 100 people came, and it was amazing. And it was like, I made it like, I wanted it to be a community connection vibe, and also dopamine, like I wanted people to leave with dopamine, yeah, or feel dopamine in there. And so I had like a connection corner with like Stephen Bartlett's conversation cards, and I had like a little art display of a couple of local artists, and I had a canvas where people could contribute their own bit of art on the community canvas, selfie station. I had goodie bags, like I just, yeah, it was really, really cool. Yeah, it was so cool. And then I did a couple of songs, and yeah, it was just such a such a nice vibe. I absolutely loved it. So that was great. So I want to do more things like that, like my own events, but probably involve other artists as well. But it felt really good to curate something that, again, it was like boosted connections so much.
It sounds like you're very connected to your audience and your fan
base. But I didn't really know that much until like that event in particular, like people I'd never met were just like, oh, you're so, like, I feel so like comfy with you, or grounded, or something. And I'm like, I don't know how, but yay, like excellent, I'm glad you feel it. I don't know, maybe it's the free childness,
but yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so I really enjoyed that, and I've done a couple of other shows, but I really like doing live band shows, and because of the expense of it, it's not always possible. So I haven't done I've been doing more backing tracks, which I want to go more into, back to live bands, because of all my favorite shows in the past. I did Notting Hill Arts Club years ago, which was fantastic. It was the best show that I've done, probably. It was like a concert. I don't know how it happened. Wasn't even prepared.
But it happened.
It happened. You know, in the audience, and you get that in between songs, and you get that connection with the audience, and it all just it was fantastic. So yeah, but I've got the next big show I'm doing is at Soul Mama on May 13th, supporting a guy called Ricky Jones, who's got some like Motown affiliation, and awesome. He's very cool soul. And that is a full live band that I know them, have put it together sort of. Well, I'm stolen them from another event, basically. And they're all phenomenal musicians, and I'm getting backing singers, and it's going to be like the whole shebang again.
Wow.
So I'm really excited.
What a wonderful thing to look forward to.
Yeah.
So that's May.
Yes, May 13th.
May 13th.
Soul Mama.
Put it in your calendars, everybody. Oh, amazing. And for a show like that, do you have a pre-show ritual? Anything that kind of keeps your nerves in check, gets you in the zone?
I've been trying to do more like nervous system exercises, like just like stomping and stuff like that, and just saying like everything gets to be easy, because I definitely do get stage fright, like as you've seen me recording these songs, I get a bit like, but yeah, it depends. I can get really in my head, but I think I'm getting better. Obviously, with each show, you get more confident, and also the uncomfortable. The uncomfortable ones. When I was viral in Asia, I was like performing there a bit, and then when I went back to, in fact, maybe that's what happened. When I went back and I did Notting Hill Arts Club, singing in English, it just felt like so much easier. Because it's so much pressure to be of a different like country, a different language, and then you have to make sure you get it right, so people aren't like, that was a wrong pronunciation.
Sure,
you know. So maybe that helps. But yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's something to look forward to. But until then, let's hear another track of yours. This is Goddess by Bonnie Freechild.
Yay. If you could see my value, then you could see my worth. Wouldn't have to tell you, I am the salt of the earth. If you could see my beauty, I'm not just skin deep, embedded in my psyche, my veins glittering. When you wake up from your daydreams, come and find me, I'll be something like a ray of light, some mystery. I'm the sunrise personified. I'm a goddess,
No one could ever break me. Yes, I am a goddess. No one could really hurt me. I'm a goddess. And I'm a warrior. Yeah, you can call me goddess. Goddamn, I'm a queen. Can you see my aura shimmering like gold? My energy is different. I'm nothing if not bold. Can you feel my power vibrationally high? Meet me on my level. I'll make you feel alive. When you wake up from your daydreams, come and find me. I'll be the sunbeam, like a ray of light with some mystery. I'm the sunrise personified.
I'm a goddess. No one could ever break me. Yes, I am a goddess. No one can really hurt me. I'm a goddess. And I'm a warrior. Yeah, you can call me goddess.
Goddamn, I'm a queen. I have a beauty that transcends traditional. Make no mistake, I know I'm unconventional. In other dimensions, I command attention. Do I need to mention the effects on your senses?
Think, hear, feel, see.
Breathe me.
Love, touch, hold, kiss.
Need
I am
need.
A goddess.
And I'm a warrior. Yes, I'm a warrior.
I am protected by those who walk before me.
I am a goddess. And I'm a warrior. Yes, I'm a warrior.
I stay protected
by those who walk before me. I come from the water. It's deep within me. It doesn't really matter who I'm supposed to be. Oh, come from my mother. She's not free. I have the spirit solid me.
I'm a goddess. No one can ever break me. Yes, I am a goddess. No one could really hurt me. I'm a goddess. And I'm a warrior. Yeah, you can call me goddess.
And goddamn, I'm a queen.
The Alpha Sessions.
That was Goddess by Bonnie Freetail. Thank you for sharing. It was a beautiful song. Can you tell us the story behind Goddess?
I can't even remember what it's called, so this is going to be a bad part of the story. There was a song that I heard that had, like, this sort of mellow kind of soulful verse and pre, and then it went into this big... I See Red, I think it's called. Red. I can't remember who sings it. Anyway, there was something about the way that it built that I really liked, and it kind of had in my head, I want to write something like that. And then I was seeing a person, and I was getting a lot of anxiety because I didn't know what was going on, confusion, you know, dating in the 2020s. And I had so much anxiety that I started this mantra, and I was like, people had sometimes said to me, oh, Amazonian goddess, because I'm tall. So
love that.
Yeah. No, it's a bit like, yeah, because sometimes people are like, oh, you wrote a song about how you're a goddess. I'm like, it's not really meant to be that, right? It was more like a personal mantra. So the word goddess came from that, people referring to me as that over the years. And then for me, I was like, yes, I'm a goddess. I've got to remember that. And so I kind of wrote it as a mantra. And I remember even at the time, like, I'd be on the tube having anxiety and I'd be working on the song, like listening to the demo and so on. And it really helped calm my anxiety. And then as I continued to write it, I guess it became quite reflective, and I just started thinking about ancestors, and I'm a warrior, and, you know, those that came before me. And it kind of turned into parts about my mum, like, who am I? Well, I'm Nora's daughter.
Mm.
And, oh, no, I am going to cry. Okay, no, I can't cry. No. You see how good at this you are. Yeah, so, and I've never really written any songs about her. Like, I've never finished anything anyway. She died when I was 14. And, yeah, and it just became, like, me, I guess, thinking about, like, channeling mum's power almost, because she was very, she was like 6 foot, and she was a psychologist, so she had this like real warm energy about her. She was a kids and adult psychologist, but often she worked with kids, so she had this real glow and like elegance about her. So thinking like that I channel my mom is like quite a nice feeling to feel connected to her. So it was really interesting that it went from situationship to
what, like, a journey that it's taken.
Exactly And it's such a long song, that's why.
I love that you've kind of taken that anxiety that you were feeling and turned it into something really beautiful and reflective. Like, that's a beautiful journey to go on, and also, you know, channeling your innermost like thoughts and feelings and your hardship as well, and turning it into something that's beautiful. Like, that's so courageous. Thank you for sharing that with us. Also, like, what I love about music is that what you've created with this song, like, for your mum, is something that no one else has ever created. It's completely unique to you and to your experiences and everything that's led you to where you are now.
Yeah,
that's just so, so exciting, and it's completely yours.
Yeah.
But in saying that, you can still connect with that.
Yeah.
People, like you say, that you've never met can still connect
100%
with that story.
Yeah. I feel like the ultimately, when I finished the song, I was like, this is for everybody as well. Like, even men, right? Like, you know, I want men to be like, I'm a goddess.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I have, like, a lot of, like, trans friends and family and LGBT community. Like, I want everybody to, and some of my closest friends are like, yes, I listen to that every morning, you know. Like,
it's
even
empowering.
And I'm like, oh, like, that's crazy that somebody's, like, listening to my song first thing in the morning. And, you know, after shows as well, people say some beautiful things to me about that song. There was a girl, I did a show in December, and she came up to me afterwards, and I think she was maybe 18, and she was like, basically told me her whole life story, and that when she was outside doing the door, and that she, when she heard the song, she was like, oh, what she said, I've got to go and listen to that. And then she was like, oh, like, it's just made me feel really connected, and I've had all this hardship, and she told me about like her whole life, like some really personal stuff. And I was like, the power of music,
I know,
right? To like make you feel heard and seen.
Yeah,
it's wild. And yet it was about me and mom and so on.
Something so personal can be so interpreted
relatable.
So widely. So obviously making music is a talent of yours. Do you have any useless talents?
No, nothing is useless. You can utilize everything,
of course.
I don't know,
is anything random?
I don't I'm not sure.
We can circle back.
I can do that.
Oh, gosh. What's going on there?
It's like I'm not double jointed, but I can do weird stuff with my fingers. That's probably.
That's so
funny. Zoom in on that.
Yeah, just get a close up of that one. All right, circling back to the music.
You don't like my weird fingers?
Right.
Especially with the nails.
Yeah.
I'm like T-Rex.
You have a brand new single.
Yes.
Called Peach.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, Peach. I checked my voice notes the other day. I was looking for like content. I need to start posting content. And I found the voice note. The first voice note of the idea was like 2022. And I just had this like melody in my head of like a bit of an old school, like almost barbershop quartet thingy going naked, 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 like that kind of vibe. And so I recorded it. And then a while later, I'd met like a new producer, and I was like, oh, maybe we could try starting on this song. I did have, I developed it on the piano first with some chords and stuff, and then had a session with this producer, and he added, like, made the chords prettier because he could play properly. And then I left it for ages, and then another producer, like maybe a year or so ago, we started and we finished writing the song together. So it's another kind of ended up as a co-write. But I've had so many iterations of the song because when we first finished it, I realized it was too cheesy. And I have a little fear around this song because it's very sensual, mm-hmm. suggestive, and I'm not so like overt with that kind of stuff. I'm mm-hmm. more like, I'm more cheeky and sassy or whatever. I feel a little bit vulnerable about this. But when we first did it, having all the instruments right from the beginning, I was like, this sounds cheesy. Like, and it just was like, it was not sitting right. And I was literally like, I might scrap this entire song because I'm like, the last thing I am is cheesy. Cheeky, fine, sure. But not cheesy. Anyway, what I was working with the engineer, and he was like, maybe we just strip it back. So we ended up stripping it right back. I had to redo the vocals, I think, for the third time, though, because then the rhythm was slightly different. Like, rather than it being very, like, R&B pop, it became a bit more, like, intimate R&B soul, mm-hmm. I guess. So to redo them again. But then it works so much better with that intimacy. Yeah. And I say if a song was a wink, this would be it. But it's really important that I communicate that.
Wait, I love that. That's such a good visual.
Right?
Yeah.
Because also...
A little bit cheeky, but yeah.
And then also, when I finished it, I played it for my sister, and she got to the chorus. She didn't know what it was about. She got to the chorus and started laughing. And I was like, okay, it's doing its job now.
Yeah.
Because that's the point. It's not... It's very unserious. I mention emojis in
wink
the...
Wink emoji.
I don't say wink, but yeah, in the chorus, right, there's like a little, yeah, it's a little bit spicy.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, we're trying it. We're just, you know, 2026, try some new things. We'll see how it goes. If everybody hates it, then well, you know.
No, no one will, I promise you that. Well, let's hear it then. Okay. This is Peach by Bonnie Freechild.
Make it. I wanna see you naked, all twisted up inside my bed. I wanna see you naked, so I know it's not in my head. I need to see that aubergine in front of me. And does he like my peach? I wanna see you naked, naked. Naked, I see you in your white tee. Those Calvin Kleins intrigue me. Baby, when I rise, me almost stop my breathing. Wonder how your hands would feel wrapped around my waist. Sculpted to perfection, built exactly to my taste.
Feeling like a king or a goddess. Feeling like I could be a goddess. And I don't wanna be honest, cause I'd have to admit that I want it.
I don't usually do things like this. Body like that, I must admit, I wanna see you naked, all twisted up inside my bed. I wanna see you naked, so I know it's not in my head. I wanna see that aubergine in front of me. And does he like my peach? I wanna see you naked. Naked, naked. In my mind, that birthday suit looks good on you. I'ma let these thoughts run wild. You could turn the lights off me on, slow dance, have fun. I just wanna taste your smile.
Oh no, I can't lose my focus. Feels like I'm under hypnosis, caught up in your hocus pocus. I'm putting myself under notice.
I don't usually do things like this with a body like that, I must admit. I wanna see you naked, all twisted up inside my bed. I wanna see you naked, so I know it's not in my head. I wanna see that aubergine in front of me. And does he lie? My peach, I wanna see you naked, 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 naked. Kissy face, red heart hands, purple devil on my mind. Hot eyes, red rose, crazy face, one lipstick print and you're mine. Kissy crazy face, red heart, heart hands, purple devil on my mind, heart eyes, red rose, crazy face, one lipstick print in your mind. Mwah.
The Alpha Sessions.
That was Peach. Beautiful song. Great. Banger. I'm very excited to listen to that one. What are your plans for the future? Where can we see and hear you?
So we've got my EP, Aftertaste. So
tell us a little bit more.
That's so it's my first EP. Finally amazing. Finished a project.
Yes.
Yes, my artist friends that have never finished, just finish.
Yeah.
Do the thing. Let it go. Record the songs. Put it out. You can do it.
Do the thing.
Slap a name on it. Aftertaste. Because the feelings linger.
Yeah.
And you're left with
that aftertaste.
Yeah. No, and whether it's sweet or bitter or spicy or bittersweet. Exactly. I just thought I'm going to do it finally. I'm going to get it out. And then there's like a couple more, you know, tracks that people wouldn't have heard. So that's exciting. I'm really intrigued. I didn't actually run the last track I did. I didn't run it by anybody, which usually I'm like, oh my gosh, like I need like 50 people to listen and tell me what they think. I was just like, no, I need a song. I wrote a song called Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, well, it was going to be the final track, but I switched the order anyway. And it's exactly what I wanted. And I was like, I'm just putting it on.
You don't need.
No, I don't need it.
Yeah.
So yeah, so the EP's coming out. And so weird timing, but after the EP's out, I'm going to Australia for a few weeks to visit family. And then when I'm back, I'm working with quite a few new people that I have met recently. So I'm going to start experimenting in the studio, other writers, other producers. I do produce a bit, so I want to do a bit more of that.
Mm.
And work on my next project. I don't know what that is yet. I don't know what it looks like. I know it's going to be less about situationships and more intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to curate some of the feelings that I accidentally created, if that makes sense. So I want to intentionally connect with Asia or the LGBTQIA, you know, community or people that have ADHD, as you know, because I recently got diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Like just all the things, all the facets of life that I connect with anyway, and just not as much situationship content, a bit of a broader spectrum, and get some funding. That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
Yes, we get some funding, empowering women. Yeah. Like, I want to work with more women, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Because women are a vibe, as are men, but I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
And gigs, more gigs, more live band gigs. But I want spaciousness with it because I feel like this whole project, it was like I was trying to catch up with myself because it's the first time I've done it. So I gave myself deadlines and then probably needed more time. But I'm like, no, but it has to be done. I got to go. And then it was just like overwhelmed, burnout, la, la, you know. And I'm glad that I've gotten to this point where it's done.
Mm.
And it's like a massive relief and it's a massive achievement to let it go enough to put it out into the world.
Mm.
I want some more ease and I want to...
space.
I want to have like 20 songs or more. I mean, I already have more than 20 songs. I don't even know how many songs, but yeah, I want them all at least like recorded to demo, and then I can like go through them and decide, and I can send them like to my vocal coach and like work on the vocal before I properly vocal it, you know, like and just like really
be intentional with your decisions.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Intentional. See, awesome. 10 minutes of rambling.
Well, it sounds like you have some very exciting things in the pipeline. So thank you so much for sharing today. It's been wonderful you on the show. Do you have a final message for your fan base? Anything you'd like to say?
Well, just thanks to everybody that's supported me thus far. You know, like it's been a wild journey since I started releasing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that I've like, I feel like every time I do an event, I pick up, I collect people.
Yeah.
And whether they're fans or friends or like fan friends, you know, like I just appreciate like every single stream and every single message and every single follow. And, you know, like I'm just grateful that people are connecting in person or online or on radio. I'm grateful I'm being invited to do things. And I'm excited for the future, and be strong. It's a hard world out there.
That's a lovely method. Thank you, Bonnie, for joining us today. You've been listening to The Alpha Sessions. I'm Sophia Brown, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Sophia.
Thank you.
The Alpha Sessions.